Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Home Energy Purification Stories. I am your host, Michael Spencer, and today we have a new and different type of episode. I am going to be interviewing a relationship and connectfulness expert. I had a request from a podcast listener for an episode talking about how to do the home energy purification work with a partner who may be resistant or ambivalent, and I'm going to use the word hesitant here as well. And so that's not a topic that I felt really comfortable exploring on my own in an episode, because in my work as a counselor and therapist in the past, I've always worked with individuals, and of course now with home energy purification, I work generally with individuals. I am really open to working with couples, and I don't have that expert level skill. So I am talking today in this episode with Rebecca Wong, LCSWR, who is a relationship therapist in New Paltz, New York, and she also resides there with her husband, their spunky children, and a handful of four-legged furry mischief makers. And in her private practice, she works with adults and couples struggling with love or parenting, facing sexual issues, or who are on the brink of divorce. She is also a mentor to therapists and changemakers and host of the Practice of Being Seen podcast. And so Rebecca's signature method is called connectfulness, and she says that that seeps into all areas of her work. It's a practice that encourages you to explore and embrace every aspect of your humanity, including everything that's marvelous and all that's messy. And she says, in exploring these fertile, uncomfortable, in-between spaces, she invites clients to get curious about what works and what doesn't, to make space for compassion, intimacy, and the ability to slow down and create impactful ripples of change that begin with believing in oneself. So with that background, as I was looking for a relationship expert, couples counselor to interview for this podcast, there was so much about Rebecca's work that really resonates and I think is a good fit for exploring home energy purification and, you know, doing the work with another person. So you can find Rebecca at connectfulness.com, and you can also check out her podcast at practiceofbeingseen.com. So I'm really, really excited for this episode, and without further ado, I give you Rebecca Wong. So hello, Rebecca.
Thank you. Hello, Michael.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is a really great opportunity for my listeners and, you know, to be able to explore a little bit about home energy purification and relationships. And, you know, when people are not necessarily on the same page with such deep and powerful work.
Yeah, both cleaning up and purifying your spaces and purifying your relationships. It is deep work on both ends.
Absolutely. So I would love it, Rebecca, if you could share with our listeners a little bit about what connectfulness means to you, since that's the name of your practice. I think that would just be great context as we launch into talking about relationships.
Sure. So connectfulness for me is really it's a research-based practice. And so much of it is about being able to explore and embrace every aspect, including the marvelous and the messy parts of being human and being human in relationships with other humans.
So beautiful.
It's a really brave discipline. I find that it takes a lot of courage to show up in a really connectful way. About remembering who you are, what you're made of, and why you're here. And it's also an invitation to shed the outdated layers. The stuff that gets in the way of you connecting to others, and to reconnect with your own intuition and wisdom so that you can get back into connection with not only yourself, but the people you choose to connect with around you.
Yeah. So that there's so much of that that is in perfect alignment with home energy purification, because it is also a really intuitive process. It's about being clear on that soul level, that energetic level, about what we want to continue to carry with us in our lives. And like you said, like shedding those outer layers and being able to be more intimate with self and clear with self, which then I think always leads to the possibility of being more intimate and clear in relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then of course, when we're doing that deep work, whether it's in therapy or our own process or home energy purification, it brings about change and disruption. And so I'd love to hear from you, your thoughts and ideas on when people are working on a process, and I was going to say working on it together. And the point of this podcast is to talk a little bit about when one person is engaging in a process and a partner is resistant to the work or hesitant or kind of ambivalent about this happening.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really important to keep note of what you're doing and why you're doing it pretty much all the time.
Mm-hmm.
When we come in with that being kind of the guiding force, it makes it a lot easier to navigate the stickier places in our lives, to navigate those more difficult conversations, and to be able to find a way into some form of harmony, even when things feel really dysregulated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just feeling into that. And I think that's so important, that clarity in moving forward. So if someone is feeling really drawn to, I need to purify, I need to go through my closets and the attic, or, you know, these things that I've been carrying with me, this baggage, being really clear about what's inspiring or driving that process. Yeah.
Yeah. And also recognize that the people that live with you, whether that's your partner, your children, your parents, your in-laws, whomever they are, that they may not have the same drive. Mm-hmm. And you might inspire them with your drive. You might inspire them along the way, but to keep in mind what you're doing and that you're doing it for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, you know, as we spoke about a little bit earlier, that is the guiding principle that I share with clients when I'm working with them individually and they may be living with someone in the home, that it's really important to do the work for yourself. Yeah. And like you had said earlier, it's important to not be trying to do this work for someone else.
Yeah. I do want to add a little piece in there that just popped into my head, if that's okay.
Yeah.
And that's just that I think it's also important that we navigate these spaces respectfully of the other people that we're living with. Meaning that if I'm going to clear out a closet, let's say in my house, that has a collection of things from my grade school days, that's up to me to do. But if I'm going to clear out wedding memorabilia between my husband and I, that's something that, you know, I want to honor and respect him in the process of.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know,
so there's different spaces. If I'm going to clear out all the clutter in my kitchen and we're a family of four, get us down to just four dishes, I might want to check in with the rest of my family before I do that.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about, because I absolutely agree with that. And I think that's vital to respect and honor, because this is home energy purification, and purification can be gentle. It can be fierce. And this is, it's deep soulful work. This isn't about railroading someone, you know, right. This is about increasing that potential for intimacy. And it may uncover things that, you know, there's a realization of, okay, we're not moving in the same direction, and we can be respectful about that too.
Yeah.
So what would be some of your tips or techniques for opening up conversation? You know, so rather than just going into the kitchen and going, I'm getting rid of everything except the four dishes, how would you recommend opening up a respectful conversation that has potential for just being an open space?
So I would start by planting seeds. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't start by expecting that I was going to go in and we were going to have the entirety of the conversation and I'd walk away with a resolution in one breath. Mm. I would start by planting seeds, and I would also come to that conversation with an I framework. Instead of coming to the conversation with, these are the things you need to do to make my thing happen, I would come with, this is something that really matters to me and that I'm really feeling into you right now, and I want to share it with you and see how you feel about this. These are the ways I think it might potentially impact you that I can foresee. And so I want to give you some time to sit with these things and then let me know how you feel.
So respectful, heartfelt, and like you're saying, it's starting from that orientation of, let me share with you how I'm feeling, not let me tell you what you have to do to make my thing happen.
Yeah, it's such a tweak, like a little tweak, but it's such a big pivot for so many relationships when we stop pointing our fingers outward and we start looking inward and say, and speaking from that I-centered place. Mm-hmm. So it's not that we're becoming narcissists and we're making the whole world about us, but we're speaking from the framework that we know. Mm-hmm. Right? I know and I have control over how I see the world. You know and you have control over how you see the world. Mm-hmm. And so if I can relate to you from that space and I can say to you that this is what matters to me, how does that feel for you? And then I can wait and even give you a week or a month to digest that. Mm-hmm. Then we can actually have a conversation.
Right. Yeah. So this work of purifying the home space, then like any other work that we do, can be an avenue for shifting conversations and changing up how we are with each other.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like a relational purification too.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely think that the potential is there for that. You know, if a person is willing to have those, you know, to open up those conversations. And I really love that gentle way that you are describing approaching a person, you know, a partner or whomever you're sharing space with. And the, I totally lost my train of thought there. Oh, that piece about not expecting a full resolution, I think that's amazing too. And I think sometimes we forget that in conversation, especially if we've been with something. Wow, I heard about this home energy purification work and I've been thinking about it for weeks, and wow, I could get rid of some of the stuff in the kitchen, or we could go through the attic. You know, we're in our own context.
We've been processing it and picking up pieces, and the people around us might not have any clue. And so for them, it's jarring.
Yes.
Yeah. I do this like a seasonal clean out with my kids. I have two young ones. And so I prep them for it. I say, okay, you know, this is the time of the year it is. This is what's coming. And what we do, they gather all of their toys in the entire house and they put them all in the living room on the floor. And we go through and they make a pile of the stuff that really matters to them, the stuff they really want to keep. And now they know this so well that they'll start by saying, okay, if I really love it, do I even have to bring it into the living room? And of course not. So they can pre-edit a little bit, but then we go through stuff and we donate and purge and get rid of all the stuff that doesn't, that they're not feeling mm-hmm. in the same way, so that we're not just holding and holding and holding, because gosh, family just brings in so much stuff.
Yes.
But this is a conversation, and it's one that we have. It's we're getting used to the ritual of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps it be something where I'm not the one walking around the house like, oh my God, all this stuff. There's so much stuff. Right. But it's ritualized now. This cleansing process becomes ritualized because we talk about it and I prep them. They know when it's happening. They know how it happens. It's not just something that I'm doing for everyone in the house. Mm-hmm. Everybody is involved.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that it just sounds so healthy, you know, rather than the frustrated mom grabbing the garbage bag and saying all of this stuff is going, which to me is I don't often use the word purge in this work, because when I think about purging the contents of one's stomach, there's no discernment about what stays and what goes. Mm-hmm. And that, which reminds me of like that angry, frustrated mom, that is just like, everything's going, I'm so tired of all of this shit. And then it doesn't give the opportunity for that gentle purification process of, oh, let's explore here. And I bet that's amazing for you to be able to have conversations with your kids, or even simply witnessing what's season to season, what's important to them and what isn't, and how they're growing, and maybe recognizing, oh, I don't play with this toy anymore.
Right.
You know, that sounds
and cool. they get to discover things that they've forgotten, which I think is always exciting. I do feel the need to just kind of jump back in and say that doesn't mean that there's never any picking up the garbage bag and having a little rageful moments.
Sure. In our house,
there, those kind of things do still kind of happen. I want to keep it real and be human here. But they happen a lot less frequently. Mm-hmm. And when they happen, sometimes the kids even have an amazing ability to remind me, can we just do that thing that we do where we put everything in? So, you know, they even have a language that's developed around this, which I think is, it's important that we all get triggered from time to time. We're human. It's natural. We all have wounds somewhere in there that need some tending to and some healing. Myself included.
Absolutely. Right? Yes.
And when we start learning how to develop conversations with the people we care about around how to tend to and nurture those wounds, then they also end up developing a language that helps them create spaces. And it's not all on us all the time to create those spaces.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So then it becomes part of the culture of the home. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what many people are wanting in relationships, you know, so it's not this, we need to talk type of heaviness. It's this more fluid, ongoing conversation of what's important to each other.
Yeah. I think when we ritualize things, mm-hmm. we add a sense of ease to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even ritualizing the talk, right? That, for example, my husband and I get up before our children and we sit down on the couch and have a cup of tea or coffee, usually coffee, together. And we talk.
Mm-hmm.
We talk better in the morning than we do at night when we're tired. So we talk in the morning and we talk about all of the things, the hard, the heavy, the things that we haven't been communicating about. And if we have that conversation every morning, chances are that there's less that gets blocked between us than if we're only sitting down to have the talk when one of us is bothered.
Yes. Yes. And I think, I mean, there is naturally already so much ritual in the home energy purification process that it, I think it makes sense that that can flow into how we're relating with each other in the home. And what a beautiful example. And it is, that too is a type of purification and celebration, you know, because you get to talk about the great thing that you didn't have an opportunity to share from the day before, as well as, wow, this is still really bothering me and it needs to be tended to.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, that's lovely.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's as simple as your energy feels really heavy right now.
Mm-hmm.
What do you need? What do we need to make space for so that you can feel a little bit like you have more space? Mm-hmm. And those can be the morning conversations.
Yeah.
And then everything flows from there and we figure out what needs to shift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so for anyone listening who is working with the home energy purification process, I hope that these tips are helpful in opening up some new ways, some new possibilities.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, I'd love to know a little bit more from you, Rebecca, about when we start to notice in a relationship that we're not growing in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you can just speak to that.
Because
this, what happens often, whether it's home energy purification or anything else, someone beginning therapy or someone realizing they need to shift out of a job or something, it can really open up these growth places, and we can realize, wow, life in the status quo isn't working for me. I need shifting and changing. And sometimes our partners aren't really on the same page, which is fine. And how do we navigate that?
Yeah, I think this is something that confuses a lot of people, because we as humans kind of get used to some stable ambiguity. We get used to living in a place of just kind of being okay with not knowing. And when somebody takes it upon themselves to make a shift, to empower themselves, to shift something up, it has a ripple effect on the entire relationship. It has a ripple effect on the whole system, on everybody that lives with them, on the house that they live in, on all of the different pieces, especially when we're talking about energy, right? Mm-hmm. So I find I'm going back to the seed planting into these intentions, because what is it that you want? Do you want to stay in and grow together in this relationship, or do you want to grow out of this relationship? Is that what you want? So I think it's important to come back to that discernment process and to take a look at, like, what is it that I want here? What is it that my partner wants? Do I want to know if my partner wants to be with me? Is this some kind of game I'm playing to see if they're going to pursue and try to keep up with me? Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a better way for me to get my need met there. Maybe there's a better way for me to sit down with my partner and say, like, you know, I'm really feeling like I need a little more of X, Y, or Z from you. I want to take that back. I wouldn't even put it that way. I think what I would say more is, I'm feeling unseen, or I'm feeling, stay with that I instead of I need this from you. Mm-hmm. Cause when we do it that way, they're going to go on the defensive. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I put my partner on the defensive, I'm creating a block. I'm creating more distance between us. And so if I'm growing and I'm putting my partner on the defensive and I'm creating more distance, I'm doing the opposite of what I really want. Mm-hmm. So what do I want? I want to grow together with my partner. So it's probably a better strategy for me to think of my own growth as seeding space for their growth.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want, because this podcast is a lot of sharing of stories. And so I'm so glad that you shared about how you work through the kids' toys together, mm-hmm. just to hear that personal story. And I want to share, because I think it's relevant. You know, the way that I did the original home energy purification process, which was my own exploration with my stuff, it started with a closet that was all my own stuff. And then I really felt that need. Wow, I want to go through everything in the house. You know, this feels so good to shed and let go. And where my husband was at that time, he was able to be a very supportive partner in me going through my stuff. And he was also able to meet me with the shared objects. And he was not ready to go through any of his stuff. And it's amazing, because I'm going to say about a year and a half later, He and I continue, because I've been developing this work to share with others. So it's a constant conversation in our house, and I'll go, oh, that's home energy purification. That is an example of how we shift and grow when we let go of things, and how we get to discern what we let go of. So he's very familiar with this. And a period of time after my really big process, he was like, I need to go through that closet of mine. I've got to do this. And I supported him in some ways, and also just kind of took a back seat to his, you know, he had a good sense of what he needed to do. He didn't need me standing over him guiding his process by any means. And I was present to explore with him the things that he wanted to explore. And when you said about the kids discovering toys that they had forgotten about, I think that's one of the greatest gifts of home energy purification, is it's like a treasure hunt.
Yeah.
Because among all of that stuff, there are some amazing treasures. And so to celebrate with him, oh my gosh, look at that thing that you found, and how amazing. And then it gets to be put in a place where it can be connected with regularly rather than in a box somewhere. So, I think that speaks to allowing our own processes to plant those seeds, and someone gets to choose very on their own how they decide to move forward and if they want to grow those seeds.
Yeah, I think that's a great point about allowing our own process to plant those seeds. I recently went out and got a whole bunch of big, like Rubbermaid type bins for out of season clothing. Mm-hmm. And I got four of them. There's four people that live in my house and everybody got one. And so I did mine, the kids and I did theirs. We did it together. Mm-hmm. And I left my husband's just near the closet. And slowly he started to do it. Without any prompting. I didn't have to say anything. He knew what it was about. He knew what it was for. He knew everybody else had done it. And in his own time, he got to it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that that's just another example of how our process can lead without necessarily having the conversation mm-hmm. be the thing that's always happening.
Yeah.
People need to do things in their own time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the ultimate in unconditional love is allowing for each person to have their process and then being present for the way that those processes intersect and being able to communicate about that.
Yeah. I mostly agree with you there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell me.
Yeah. So I believe that that is what unconditional love is. And mm-hmm. when we're talking from parent to child, 100%, but I don't necessarily believe that love between two adults is unconditional.
Mm-hmm.
There are conditions.
Sure.
And I think that's typically where relationships get into trouble is when we think that it's unconditional that you should do this for me, but then we start holding reasons and things over each other and mm-hmm. we actually start putting conditions on our marriage. And so it might just be helpful for us to reframe it a little bit and to acknowledge that there are conditions in mm-hmm. adult love relationships. And, you know, one of those conditions might be that we respect each other.
Mm-hmm.
One of those conditions might be that we give each other the time and space that's needed out of respect to come to our own growth,
mm-hmm.
right? And we can go on and we can kind of define what these conditions are. But I do think that there are conditions in adult love relationships.
Yeah, and certainly conditions in whether a person stays in the relationship and agrees to continue the yeah. relationship.
Which in an ideal world should be a daily recommitment.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
I know that's the kind of love I want.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not a commitment one day 15 years ago.
Right. No, I want to know today that he feels that way about me still.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think that is also another aspect that comes up, you know, when you're talking about, I forget the exact language, like shedding the old layers or the outer layers. And it's also that way with home energy purification, you know, going through the stuff in the attic from two decades ago, we get to discern what we want to hold on to and what we want to let go of as we're moving forward, you know.
You've got me thinking right now about if I really need to keep my wedding dress in my closet in that box or if I could let go of it. But, you know, little things like why am I holding on to some of this stuff?
Yeah. And some of it is, you know, that's what we do. You get married.
What we do.
Yeah.
Your dress goes in a box. You never see it again. It goes in the top of your closet where you never touch it, but you just hold it there.
Right. For something. Right?
And why?
Yeah. And so this is what we do. We challenge that. And I'm hearing from you that we get to challenge and not challenge in an aggressive way and bring up for witnessing and observation the relationship foundation that we've built on.
Yeah.
So all of this then ends up getting, things can get pretty shaken up.
Yeah, I think things can definitely get pretty shaken up. There's also so much opportunity for mutual growth,
mm-hmm.
right? That growth doesn't always have to be about me being empowered out of the relationship. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, when I think about therapy, I think about the kind of couples therapy that I do, which I practice from a framework called relational life therapy, developed by Terry Real. And one of the things that Terry often talks about is how in a lot of individual therapy, people are empowered out of relationships, whereas really good couples therapy empowers the relationship. And I think that's one of the differences in terms of how we're talking about this a little bit right now, mm-hmm. is that when we're feeling that we're growing out of alignment with each other, one of the things that we're talking about is that we're empowering one individual over another mm. versus empowering the whole system, empowering both individuals, empowering the family, and keeping in mind what it is that's being empowered. Our home. We're cleaning our home. We're doing this together because we want to live in a state of, talking about what the relationship is and why are we in this relationship? These are the things that we come back to and are part of that purification process mm-hmm. to keep us in alignment with each other, with ourselves.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's very beautifully articulated. Oh my gosh, I feel like we could go on for another half hour and I think we're at a good point to start wrapping up. I'm wondering if there's anything else that you would like to share with our listeners, just about approaching or connecting with a partner who is just maybe not quite on board with the process.
Yeah. You know, I think whenever I think about connecting with partners and the two people are having difficulty communicating, I always come back to the fact that it's probably not about the communication mm-hmm. because chances are when you were connecting well at another point in your relationship, communication wasn't an issue. Mm-hmm. Communication becomes an issue when we're feeling disconnected, and we tend to feel disconnected the more that our wounds show up and need tending to. And sometimes we look at our partners and we think they're the ones who are supposed to fix it all for us, mm-hmm. which is another place that we sometimes get stuck and get into trouble, because the truth of it is that as we grow up and we adult, it's our job to tend to our wounds. It's our partner's job to tend to their wounds. And from that place of tending to ourselves, we can show up for each other. When we don't do it that way, then we're really well positioned to stick it to each other and to show each other exactly where our wounds are, which is another great opportunity for tending to those wounds. But if we choose not to tend to our own wounds, we're going to keep getting ourselves into trouble. Mm-hmm. So I offer intensive couples retreats at an amazing spa in upstate New York called Menlo Mountain Resort. And it's like a 2-night, 3-day experience, just the couple and myself, and we dive really deep. We start looking at what the blockages are that keep coming up, how they take hold. We develop the awareness around that, and we build a more sustainable practice towards helping them integrate more skills, relational skills into their lives, and doing some deep healing work. Mm. And we do it at the spa so that they can also really receive and be held by a lot of amazing services. Mm-hmm. So that's just, I wanted to throw that out there, that if people are feeling like they want a deeper dive into that, that's one way that they can explore that.
And so let me understand this. This is, you work intensively with one couple at a time at these retreats, as opposed to a couple's retreat where it's multiple couples.
Yes, it's just the one couple.
Wow, that sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
We're really into, making it very individualized, going deep. Mm-hmm. Talking about what, cleaning house, mm-hmm. but just within your relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. I will make sure that the link for the intensive retreats is in the information with the podcast.
Yeah. Awesome.
Great. Oh, thank you so much, Rebecca. This is really helpful. And I appreciate your insights and everything that you shared today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Michael.
Thanks again for joining me and Rebecca on the podcast today. I really learned a lot from our conversation, and I hope you did too. If you are feeling like you want to jump into home energy purification, feel free to connect with me. You can give me a call at 717-385-8382. And you can also check out the website. It continues to be in process. That's letspurify.energy. And last week I was doing a lot of work on the behind the scenes parts of the website. And then this week I'm working on more content and images. So it's coming along slowly and surely. So check it out and keep on purifying.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.